It's time for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
Welcome to episode 368 of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. I'm talking this week with the creators of The Freeze from Top Cow, and it's one of my favorite books that's out right now. It's written by Dan Wickline, and the art is by Philip Seavey, who's been on this podcast before. It's a really interesting character story with lots and lots and lots of interesting sci-fi elements going on. And it gives the two a chance to explore a lot of interesting things that go on in society today, as well as things that have happened in the past and what might happen in the future. The basic storyline focuses on a character who is working on a computer at an office and suddenly stands up and realizes that nobody else is moving but him. That leads to lots of other interesting circumstances. And once again, I have to say, if you're not getting The Freeze, you really should be. It's from Top Cow, and it's just one of those great books. Issue 3 has just come out, and it's one of the best books that's out today. So be sure to check with your store about that. We also talk about other projects they're working on, as well as how to follow them on social media. So I'm sure you're going to enjoy what they have to say. There's a lot to get to in this episode. So let's get on with the show. It's great to welcome back to the podcast Philip Seavey, and to welcome Dan Wickline, the creators of a wonderful book from Top Cow called The Freeze. And you guys have a name for folks that are, what, freezers? Is that what you call? I'm trying to remember what the name is for the people who are fans of the book. All right. Yeah, here it is. It's freezers, all right. Faithful freezers. That's what it is.
There we go.
Faithful freezers. I like that.
So, very Stan Lee.
Yes, very much. Very much so. Dan, of course, you're the writer, and Philip, you're the artist on this. Now, Philip, I've talked to you before about your work, which I really love, and I think that this is a great combination because, as I was mentioning to you when we first started emailing about this book, Philip, I was so taken by the first issue. And then the second issue came out, and it knocked me out of my chair. I mean, not only do we have the stuff of the first issue going on, but now we've got something else going on the second issue. And when this posts the third issue, which I appreciate you've given me the chance to look at, it's just an amazing book. I just, you know, every time I think I know where you guys are going to go, I don't know where you guys are going to go. And, you know, for somebody who's read comics as long as I have, this is just like a true pleasure, you know, because many times I think, oh, okay, here's where Superman, you know, gets away from the kryptonite and all this kind of stuff. But your stuff, wow. I mean, Dan, why don't I start with you and ask about the story? I mean, did you and Philip work together? Was this a story you had on your own? How did this happen?
I actually came up with the story quite a long time ago. I mean, I'd say 10, 15 years ago, I had the original idea. I actually pitched it to two other companies, and it wasn't the right timing. Mm-hmm. And then I got an opportunity to show the idea to Matt Hawkins, who... You know, I think I gave it to him on a Saturday, and Monday he was, you know, letting me know that he wanted to do it and take a look at this guy Phil's artwork to see if he'll work. And it's like, yeah. So it was just, you know, it's finally the right place, right time for the story. But it's been bouncing around my head for a very long time.
Well, because, you know, I talked to Philip at a con. I'm trying to remember, was it New York? Which con was it that you started to tell me about this book? And I was like, oh, I've got to keep up with this thing. And so when it came out, I really desperately read it. And I said, man, this is great. But like I said, the second issue, even, wow. I mean, did you, Dan, and we'll talk to Philip in a minute here, but Dan, did you have the directions that were going? I mean, you know, the first issue, I mean, we can probably talk about the first issue pretty much now because it's been out for a while. But the first issue... Why don't you describe what happens? Maybe better let you describe than me try to do it.
Well, I mean, the pitch for the book is pretty much the first issue, which is you have an everyday average guy. He's not a hero. He just lives his life, and he goes to work one day, and he's under a desk plugging a power strip in, and when he comes back out, he realizes the person he's talking to isn't moving. They're frozen in place. Mm-hmm. And he immediately kind of, you know, freaks out a little and goes out in the hallway to find someone to get some help, and finds that everybody is frozen. Mm-hmm. So he finds his way over to the main glass window and looks out to the streets of Los Angeles below, where cars have crashed. Mm-hmm. You know, there's fires and just utter chaos, yet nobody down there is moving. And he comes across the realization that the entire world is frozen. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then he accidentally bumps into one of his coworkers and touches him skin to skin, and that person wakes up.
Yeah, wow. So then he goes about the process of waking people up, as you put it. In the third book, we know there's over 100 that have been brought. And they pick and choose which ones they want based on the skills they have as far as things go. So, well, Philip, I got to ask you at this point, what was your reaction when you got to see the pitch for this?
I was pretty excited. I mean, like Dan was saying, I got brought in super early. I didn't even realize how early it was. I was like, this sounds great. Send me the first script. And I reached out to Dan, and Dan was like, I pitched this like 2 days ago. So yeah, it was really fun to be in on the ground floor. And then Dan spent the next couple weeks getting the script together and reworking certain areas with Matt, getting it to in top shape. And then when I got it, I was really excited to see what I could dig in and what I could do with it from an artistic standpoint.
Because, mm-hmm. you know, Philip, you're a great writer too. So,
thank you.
Because, you know, I've read that Sideways book that you did, and it always escapes mm-hmm. the name of it.
But that was Paradox.
Paradox, that's right. That was a great one. Yep. I loved that book.
And thanks.
I just hate that I can't remember it. But so I'm glad that you guys work together on it. I mean, do you give input to Dan on occasion? Do you kind of say, well, maybe we got to go this way? I mean, you know, because sometimes if you have two sets of eyes looking at something, you might figure something that one set doesn't see. And it doesn't make it bad.
I mean, Dan can speak probably from his point of view. I know when I come onto a project as an artist, because I write as well, I have to, you know, this is the first time Dan and I were working together. So it was a little bit like, all right, what feedback does he want? And usually, as I'm an artist, I look at it from like a visual standpoint, like what can I bring, or what visually works really well in the script, or what could we maybe change a little bit so it visually work more? And I was, you know, I was really excited. Like you mentioned the second issue, how it blew you away. And mm-hmm. I remember receiving it after I finished the first issue. And there were multiple times I chuckled out loud. And that's usually a good sign for me, because that means I'm excited there was a couple of certain scenes in that book that really jumped out. And I was like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to draw this. And then there was moments in issue 3 and 4 and so on. So there was always really fun things to draw. And then I had a few suggestions here and there along the way about maybe we could place this scene here instead of there, or, you know, just changing things around to try and find, from my artistic standpoint, like what would be the coolest way for this to look? What's the most effective way that I could bring a little bit to the story?
Mm-hmm. It's really great. Now, before we leave the first issue, I got to ask Dan, your book is one of those books that actually has a person of color as the lead person. Which, you know, mm-hmm. I'm always excited when I see that, because we can read about white guys every day of the week and then some if we want. But you've got a person of color, a black individual, who's the guy that was underneath the desk and stuff. Did that make a difference? I mean, was that on purpose? I'm just trying to figure, did it make any difference as far as the story goes to make him a person of color?
I didn't set out necessarily with that in mind one way or the other. When Phil and I got a chance to talk, two of the things that we talked about, one was I had a note in the original book, or the original pitch, that I wanted the first script to feel claustrophobic. Mm-hmm. And Phil came back and said, can I do a 9-panel grid? Mm-hmm. I'm like, on which page? He's like, all of them. Like, sure. So you're insane. Okay. Yeah. And that, I think, is still one of the best decisions made on the book. And that's all Phil. But, you know, so I afterwards went back and I tweaked the dialogue to make it work. But, you know, so Phil and I immediately started collaborating, because that's what a comic is. It's a collaboration. You know, it should never be the writer demands down from on high and then the artist draws. I mean, mm-hmm. that's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. It should be a collaboration, and that's what we did immediately. Another thing that Phil suggested was, we're in LA, can we have as a diverse cast as possible? And I had already thought about going with a person of color in the lead, but this kind of sparked me. I went, okay, let's try to mix it up as much as possible all the way through the book. Because it's true. I live in L.A. and, you know, everybody's here. It is the ultimate melting pot, you know, L.A. and New York. So if you're going to set something in one of those two cities, it should be as diverse as possible. So when I sat down and I wrote out the, you know, every issue when there's a new character in the front, I give a description of the character and I have an actor suggestion just as a hint. And I've been going through and trying to make it as diverse as possible. And then, you know, Phil comes in and does his magic and we get Ray and Lisa. And I think it's great. Then there's other characters that if they're not in the front of the book, they can be whatever Phil wants them to be. So, you know, we have an incredible cast of characters in this book, and a lot of it is because of Phil.
Well, I have to say, I mean, this first book blew me away. And then I got the second book. You know, I the second book, you know, the mystery of the first book is what happened? How did this take place? You know, how did this guy be the only guy that we know of? I mean, I'm a much of a comic reader to think that maybe he's not the only one, you know, that can do that. But you know, in the setting we understand it now, is he is. And so he's, when we get to the second book, something really fascinating happens. And since that's been a while, maybe we can talk about it. The as we said, there was like 100, over 100 people that have been touched and brought back to moving life. But then suddenly we discover one of them has been killed. And, you know, it's interesting because they've been very careful choosing who they want to bring back. And now all of a sudden one of them is dead. And that means one of the people that's going around has killed him. And so, you know, Dan, talk about that to me because, you know, I thought the mystery in the first issue was going to hold the whole series. But then we get the second issue, we get a big murder mystery hitting. You know, I mean, my gosh, you know, you didn't want these people around. You wouldn't have brought them back. So talk about that. Talk about the pivot in the second issue.
Okay, well, I always look at it this way. Whenever you have something like a catastrophe movie or a survival movie and stuff, you know, the question's always, well, what happened? What caused it? But the people who are actually in the scenario, the odds are they may never find out. You know, it's like in The Walking Dead, what caused you know, the zombie outbreak. You've got a cop and a cop. I mean, these are just normal people. These aren't scientists. These are just everyday people who may never figure it out. So to me, the overall story of what caused the freeze, that's important. But it's as what's to me is almost more important is what do you do once that happens? And that's the story I'm focused on. Is, I mean, we'll lay out what happened, but how do you rebuild society? What are the caveats? And picking and choosing who is going to be in that society is a huge question as well. And, you know, we live our lives so open now on social media, except are we really those people? Are we really what we display? We keep, you know, we can't assume that just because, you know, oh, they're a nice person or they're a troll, that's a real person. And that's and that's kind of where I wanted to hit on with this, is that if you sat there and decided on who should live and who should die based on their social media profiles, you have no idea what you're getting.
Because there's a story where Patton Oswalt, he disagreed politically with some guy, but he was in trouble, the other guy was, and so he ended up like supporting this guy, giving him money or something, or I don't know all the details of it. But the thing of it is you know, just because this guy nagged or bothered Patton Oswalt, if he could have just very easily said, get away from me and you know, unfriend him or whatever he had to do to get rid of him. But instead, you know, here it's turned this different way. I mean, it, the reason why that story stands out is because that's very unlike the way we do things now. We tend to, if somebody bothers us, we get rid of them as far as digital stuff goes. And I think that's a lot of that, you know, in the freeze, we get to see a lot of these kinds of things going on, you know, about people interacting and who are they really? And just because they have a certain appearance to them, or maybe there's certain skills they have, that doesn't necessarily mean they're good people.
Right. So or really, necessarily bad people. I mean, yeah. you don't see the reality of people through what they are online.
I love that. This book just speaks volumes to me. We get to issue 3 in men here. But Philip, when you got to the second issue, as far as like diversity and stuff like that, as Dan's pointing out, you're picking up making it a diverse comic in the terms of who the people are. Are you picking people you know? Are these, I don't know, influenced by TV? How do you choose somebody's, I mean, how do you choose that? How do you decide who you're going to make different races and stuff like that?
Sure, yeah. I mean, Dan had mentioned this a little bit, but I'll talk a little bit more. At the beginning of each script, he will detail, here are all the new characters we're introducing, because like you had mentioned a little bit earlier, we get a gigantically sprawling cast. There's over 100 people woken up by issue 2. So Dan will highlight specific ones, and then within there, early on, he asked me, like, you know, do you want any type of reference when I'm talking about a character? And I actually like to cast my characters as actors when I draw them, just because it gives me a base of reference to use and something to go back to for consistency. So early on, I told him, like, that would be really helpful. So with each issue, the main characters that are introduced, he will say, all right, you know, this character, you can model him after this actor or actress. Mm-hmm. So I'll go through and I'll compile a whole bunch of reference photos and I'll do a character design sheet. I think we have had some of those in the back of the issue so far, but I've got roughly like 10 or 15 characters that I specifically designed ahead of time. And then beyond that, yeah, then it's just kind of looking at, what's the makeup right now? Like, who is in this scene? And, you know, and does this feel representational of the melting pot of LA? There's not beyond the really helpful suggestion Dan gives me, that as far as smaller characters go, it's just kind of like, all right, well, what seems like would work in this situation? Am I representing reality enough? And that's been one of the fun things about the book. And one of the big challenges is everything takes place in real world LA within, you know, the fictional setup of the freeze. So I've done a lot more reference and photo research and all sorts of things than I would in a book like Tomb Raider or Paradox, because all of these things take place in specific locations. Sometimes Dan will even be like, it's the LA Fitness off Pasadena or something. Like, he will specifically say which one, which is helpful because then I can hop on Google Maps and go see what the building looks like and what around it is going on and things like that.
Mm-hmm. It's just amazing to me. The whole business is just, you know, I got to go back to one thing, though. I still want to know how this happened. How did this one person working on the computers, how did he possibly end up the only one? And see, I still question whether he's the only one. I really do. So we'll see. I mean, you know, I've read enough comics in my day to say, hey, they're making it set up. Maybe it's not that way. But I don't expect you're going to spoil anything with that. But I'm just giving you my suggestion. I'd love to know how this is going to go. Now, I got to ask you, Dan, though. This is a miniseries, right?
Well, the idea is that we're doing 4 issues and you're going to see if it, you know, how it does, and hopefully we'll get to do more. And that's, you know, that's what we're looking at now. I mean, the idea is to do a bigger series.
Mm-hmm. Keep going. Cause I want to know what happened. I don't know how this possibly came about. Cause I mean, that honestly, that just threw me. When I read the second issue, my head spun around. I was like, what? You know, there's another story besides the main story going on here. Of course, now I got to know everything. I'm like the Riddler was in that one Batman, the animated series. I got to know, you know, kind of stuff.
Well, I'm going to shock your world a little more. There's actually 3 stories going on.
Oh, no. Because
the ending of in issue 2, there's 2 things that happen.
Oh, really? Well, it's been out a while. Yeah. Can you elaborate? Tell us what the 2 things were.
The girl in the boots.
Oh, okay. Oh, boy. Oh, man. I thought I was picking up everything. I didn't even get that. Okay. I got to go back and reread that one because that's such a good book. But
I think we explore that idea a little bit more in issue 3 and then issue 4. So obviously we're not going to talk about issue 4 at this point. But there's more than meets the eye to what we saw in issue 2.
Right, because at this point, when this podcast interview airs or posts. Issue 3 has already come out. So we can talk a little bit about issue 3, which we're recording this a little before that. So we're going to be a little nervous about that, I think, because, you know, we don't want to spoil stuff. I don't want
anybody, who's picked up issue 3 should take the comic with them to any comic conventions, because Phil has actually drawn a bunch of comic creators on the cover.
Really? Because I'm looking at the cover right now and I'm going, who are they? Yeah, I'm going to have to. I won't do it now because we don't have the visuals. People can't really look at it. But I'm going to have to. Next time I see you guys at a convention, I'm going to have to take that with me so I can find out who is who.
And then we can send you around to all the creators there and have them sign the book.
That's right. Now, okay, because so, you guys are. I do want to say one thing before you get to issue 3, and I mentioned this to you guys before. I love the Top Cow line. I mean, the Freeze just blew me away right off the bat. I love Zach's books about Eclipse and Port of Earth, those kind of books. I am really looking at Top Cow very seriously because this is not by chance. You guys are putting out really quality storytelling. And when I find that, in particularly like in 2 or 3 series, I want to follow that line for a while at least and just keep going, because, man, I hope this book goes on forever because I am so enjoying it. It's such a wonderful book. I hope it sells well enough that we just keep going and going, and all the mysteries that you have in mind are going to come to pass. Because, boy, they're
Yeah, you and me both. If you're checking out the Top Cow stuff, you should also be checking out the stuff from Matt Hawkins, who is doing some amazing sci-fi work over there. Also, there's the series Infinite Dark by Ryan Cady.
Yeah, I missed that one. I've got to be able to get
it. Definitely worth picking up.
Now, which one does Matt do? What series does he do?
Matt has been doing a lot of series. Okay. He does Symmetry, Think Tank, The Tithe. Mm-hmm. He does a lot of books over here. He's also the president of the company and the guy that does all the decision making. Oh. But he's got his own little universe of characters over there, and they're all just brilliantly written. Think Tank is probably my favorite. It's all about this genius who works at a think tank making weapons and him deciding it's not what he really wants in the world. And, and Matt, who has a degree in physics, brings real world stuff. And so everything he puts in there is the cutting edge of technology, are things that really exist.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, it is pure sci-fi genius there.
Oh, man, I got to look at that. Oh, man. You know, the Top Cow books feels well thought out. You know, sometimes I read books, and I got to be honest with you, I just feel like it's just stumbling along. You know, it's like driving someplace. You could wander around on the roads, and you may get somewhere eventually, but it's not any place you ever thought about going. But if you're going on a specific purpose, you have to get to certain places. You have to get to certain places. And what you guys are doing, it's clear that you guys know where you're going. To me, and that always makes for fun read. I mean, the New Teen Titans was my favorite of that. Wolfman and Perez just did. You knew they were going somewhere. You could feel it, but I had no idea where. You know, that's what was half the fun was to read the book and find out where they really wanted to go. And with your book, I have that same feeling. I have this feeling of we're in a car and we're going someplace, and you know what you're doing, so we can trust you to get to a place that's going to be a great place to stop at the end of the issue.
Yeah, oh, good. But, I'm glad.
But we're going to stop and check out the world's largest ball of twine and stuff on the way.
Well, I love the book, and I want to put a push in for the Freeze. If you haven't seen it yet, now I want to talk about issue 3 because it just came out as of this podcast, and you take another little twist. You know, you talked about that character, and she shows up in issue 3. Mm-hmm. As I'm looking at it, I see her in there. Dan, why don't you talk about the character as to who she is and what kind of things she might do for the series?
In issue 2, there is reference to somebody having gone missing. Mm-hmm. And she's referred to as the girl in the cute boots.
Right.
And it's just a throwaway, or it seems like a throwaway, mm-hmm. or you might think the big surprise at the end of the issue is that, and right. It's not.
Right. It's on page 9 that the one lady is looking for the girl with the really cute boots.
Right.
Yeah. Yep. So you're following up in this book. So is that, that's, well, of course, you know, if people start to vanish, now you have to wonder, is that related to the death that we've seen? Is this coming from the same thing, or is this another mystery?
That's part of what we got to figure out.
Yeah. See, I love a book that'll keep pulling me along and saying, keep reading, something good's going on here. And that's what this book does.
I always liken it back to, I like to write in a similar way to J.K. Rowling's. Mm. If you sit down, you start reading the Harry Potter books, mm-hmm. and you're on the train with Harry as he goes to Hogwarts the first time, mm-hmm. and Ron tries to turn his rat yellow and it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. And you're like, well, because Ron's a bad wizard. Mm-hmm. And if you find out six books later, it's not because of that. It's because it's not a rat. It's Peter Pettigrew, mm-hmm. who's been hiding as Ron's rat since the beginning. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, that's a little tiny thread that she laid down, mm-hmm. in the very beginning of the first book that pays off six novels later. Mm. You know, so mm-hmm. that's something I like to do, is I like to try to just put a little thread out here. We'll come back to that later.
So we need to pay attention, in other words.
Absolutely.
Okay, I love that. Those are my favorite things. I love TV shows that make me pay attention. You know, I love those kinds of things. But I want to get to, I'm sure you're gonna take us into the mystery with the girl with the really cute boots. But the thing that fascinated me the most about the issue is we get to a religious group of people.
Yes.
And their take on what's going on is kind of fascinating. Is this kind of, are you commenting on religious groups that we come into today? Is this kind of, I'm sure you don't want to name names or anything like that, but are you kind of focusing on what happens in these kind of circumstances as far as religious people go?
Actually, I'm more focused on what religion is supposed to be. Religion is two things. Mm-hmm. There's spirituality and there's religion. And spirituality is somebody who doesn't understand, and they give the explanation to being God. Mm-hmm. And mankind has done that since as far back as you can go. Before the Bible, there was Greek mythology. There was Roman, Norse mythology. That's what it is. It's that man going, I don't understand why there's a giant ball of fire in the sky for a while and then it goes away. Well, I'm going to come up with a story about gods in a chariot going across the sky. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's how man explains the things that they don't understand. And that is what spirituality or belief in gods has always been. Mm-hmm. Then the religious aspect comes in, which is people of power using that, mm-hmm. to control the masses. Mm-hmm. So I'm not necessarily having a take on religion. Because to me, religion is just, again, it's almost like a government system or a political system to control people. Wow, that might get a few letters. Yeah, I don't have a problem with people being religious. So in my mind, there are people who are going to see the event of the freeze and try to figure out how it fits into their own belief system. Right. And if they believe strongly in a God, they're going to equate it to being a miracle because mm-hmm. it is what they believe. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's mm-hmm. just so, and I could see a group of people who have similar thoughts coming together.
Because mm-hmm. mm-hmm. are we going to see these people again? Because you spend a little time with them. This isn't the end of seeing that group of folks, is it?
Oh, no.
Okay. Because I figured you'd invested some time with them. I had to figure they were going to come back. So I like that this 100 group of 100 people plus, you're dividing them into different sorts of groups, you know, which would happen. Sociology and psychology. You're in the sociology part right now as far as that goes.
Yes.
Which is exactly. Great stuff. Which is great stuff. Now, there's a big surprise, and if you haven't read the book, you don't want to listen to this, but there's a huge surprise where after they meet the religious group, they go to a truck. It's in a parking lot, and let's just say when they open the truck, our main character decides it's time to vomit. I loved it. It was hurl was the sound effect. I thought that was a great sound for that. But do you want to talk about what that is? I mean, I hate to spoil it in a sense. I want people to be able to get it and read it, but it's really a pivotal part of the story. Should we wait?
Yeah, because, well, just put it this way. What we find out at the end of issue 2 it was our chance to turn it up to 11 in issue three. Mm-hmm. You know, that it's not just a little issue. It's a very big issue at that point. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then we get to the end, and I am not going to spoil the end. Let's just say that it's one of those endings that makes you sure to get the next issue, because I'm just very surprised at what goes on there. So just a really well done book. I have to say, I am guessing all the time, and sometimes I get it right and a lot of times I don't. And I love a book that can fool me. I love a book that does those kinds of things. So the Freeze to me is just one of those great books out right now. It's one of the best books on the stands, in my opinion. And that's why I hope it just keeps going, because, you know, issue three just blew me away. And I got to ask her, because you got a 4-issue story arc. Are they going to trade at that point?
What's that? Yes.
Okay.
The trade will be out in April. It's in the current catalog now.
Okay.
Or in the February previews, yeah.
Do you know whether things are going to progress at this point, or we haven't hit that part yet? We'll know that sometime soon.
I haven't had a chance to talk to Top Cow yet and see what they want to do. Okay. I'm hoping to do that in the next few days.
Okay.
So I know our numbers have been pretty good.
Good.
So good, fingers crossed.
Well, I mean, you've got, you know, the story is really well done. The art, and one of the things in issue three, that page we haven't spoiled, you spend a little time, Phil, talking about how you put that page together, which I have to say.
He killed a lot of people and threw them in a trash.
With the end of each issue, we've been doing just back matter things where we talk, you know, Dan's talked about, you know, a lot of like where the stories come from and other development. And as we are putting that together, he's enjoyed, I post on my Twitter and Instagram sometimes some of the reference shots that I take for the different pages and panels. And Dan was like, we should do a back matter where you talk about this. So we took 4 or 5 pages in the back of issue three to talk about how I put our big page together, because it was such a, in the script, especially, you know, Dan, it's very brief what he describes. You don't need a lot of the description.
That's
and
right.
He says, you know, like, he says, go all out. Like, this is our money shot for the issue. So I went all out. It's my favorite page of the issue. So it was a difficult one to do as far as how much time it took and all the work put into it. But I'm really proud of how it came out. I think it's a good shocker there.
It was a jaw dropper for me. When I turned, when I got to that page, my jaw dropped and I went, holy smoke. And that's why I actually, you know, enjoy, considering what was going on, which was distracting enough, when I got to see how you put the page together, I enjoyed that.
I thought that was a great thing.
I'd like to know how you make things happen sometimes is important. You know, because I used to watch Star Trek Deep Space Nine, which was my favorite Star Trek. And oftentimes I had a bunch of friends and we would all sit and watch it multiple times to see how they did what they did. Mm-hmm. And that's what I like about this one. This shows that page and how you put that together. And of course, now we got to find out what the heck's going on here. I said to Phil when we were talking, I said, I don't know how you're going to wrap all this up in 4 issues. And so I don't imagine you are going to wrap it up in 4 issues. I have a feeling you guys have got many, many more stories to go, and I hope that 4 issues is just the tip of the iceberg for this good thing.
Yeah, well, you get a resolution on at least part of it.
Okay. Okay, very good, very good. Well, you know, there's some books that never get resolution. I mean, the X-Men go on for centuries, and there's never a resolution. It's nice to have some resolution every once in a while, you know, so I'm happy to hear that. I'm going to be fascinated. I still want to know how this happened. Someday I'm going to want to know that. But the story is so good, and it's so gripping, and things that are happening, I just have to pay attention, and I love something that makes me pay attention. So the Freeze, it's from Image/Top Cow. I don't know how you exactly identify that, but anything under Top Cow right now, I'm going to go out and get the ones you suggested, and I'm going to keep my eye out for Top Cow. Because when the stuff that you guys are making, I mean, Freeze, and like I mentioned, the other books from Zach, those are really thoughtful, great reading books. You know, the story is great. The art is terrific. I don't know what you're going to do. And I've been reading comics for decades, and I've gotten good at guessing at what's going to come next. So when I don't know, when they turned around and looked inside that truck, I was stunned.
Secret is that I don't know what's going to happen next, and I'm just making it up as I go along.
You don't have a 5-year arc? You don't have a GMS 5-year arc also. See, I think things like that limit you. I think you should tell the story because you never know. You might write the thing and then you see something Phil draws, and in your head it takes the story a different direction.
Oh, absolutely. Things so, like that happen.
Oh, because yeah. it's a great book. It's one of my favorite books out right now, and I'm just dying to know what's going to happen next. I don't know. I can't wait for issue 4.
I'm really excited for people to see issue 4. I think, you know, Dan and I talked a lot about how to wrap it up. And not necessarily me as like, hey, write it this way, but making sure that we hit enough conclusions to give a satisfaction to the reader, but to also open up enough questions to keep people wanting more. And I think Dan did a great job in balancing the two of those. So that will be out the first week of March. So just almost a month away.
Oh, boy.
And everybody should know that where the climax takes place is totally Phil's fault. He specifically said, hey, I'd like to draw this. And I went, okay.
I think I could phrase it more as like, I think this will visually look cool, because as I started to draw it, I was like, this is not a fun place to draw, but at least it looks cool. So.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. It's like people draw machines.
And he was tired of grocery stores.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. After issue 2, I sent Dan a message. I was like, can I please not draw any more grocery stores or convenience stores? Because those are so time consuming and difficult.
Yeah. Got to write all that little, draw all that little stuff, all the little things on the shelves. And
it's like, yes, sir.
People say they don't like to draw machines because they have to be proportionally exactly right. And, you know, with people, you have a little give and take. But as far as like a robot or something, or a toaster oven or something like that, it all has to look the way it does in reality, and that takes a little more time to get all that stuff done. But you never, I would never know it, because I have to tell you, I saw the grocery store and it looked great for me. I loved it. I didn't think anything that, man, he really had to work on this one or something like that. It just propelled the story right along. So this is just great stuff. Now, of course, how do we follow? We'll start out with you, Phil. We talked once before, but as far as like social media goes, or projects, do you have any? This is probably going to keep you busy for a while. I mean, at least I hope so. are there other projects you're working on that we should know about?
Yeah, so I wrapped drawing the Freeze about a month ago, three weeks ago, something. Okay. I spent the better part of a year drawing these 4 issues. This is the first time outside of Paradox that I actually colored myself. And Paradox has a very unique abstracted coloring style. This is the first time I was able to color myself in a little bit more of a traditional way. So the first issue took me 2 or 3 times longer than I had anticipated, with a combination of all the stuff we did, plus the 9 panel grids, plus coloring myself. So, you know, by the time I got to the 3rd and 4th issue, I felt in a better groove. But I wrapped that up. Right now I'm working on a creator-owned book that I'm writing and drawing, actually. And it'll be published later this fall. While we're waiting, you know, I'm working on it right now and waiting to hear kind of what the future of the Freeze is. But I can't say what it is or what the publisher is quite yet, but it'll be announced late spring, early summer.
Okay.
So that's a project I'll be writing and penciling and inking and coloring myself.
Wow.
So.
Wow, you better get a head start on that. Sounds like, wow, that's going to keep you busy.
Yeah, I started writing it 4 or 5 months ago in between pages of the Freeze. So it's been I'm always working on 1.5 things at least just to keep me going. But you can follow me like on social media. I'm on Twitter at Philip Seavey. Mm-hmm. On Facebook and Instagram, I'm Philip Seavey Comic Art. Mm-hmm. But then I just have a website, just philipseavey.com. There's not really a blog there, but it's got links to my other stuff. It's got a store where you can buy copies of like the Paradox or House or original art or anything I have that's not like regularly available at a comic book store.
I really love the Paradox. Let me put a quick push in for that, because I thought that was one of those great creative books that doesn't do what you expect. So I love that.
Oh, thank you.
That was a great book. Okay. So, and by the way, CV is SEVY. We should make sure people
correct
know that.
Yes.
I hate for people to put an A in there or something like that. We wouldn't want that. All right, Dan, your turn. Are you working on, writers have it easier than artists in that sense. Are you working on other stuff as well? Are there other projects that we should be aware of?
Yeah, sadly, I can't. None of them are announced yet.
Okay.
But I'm working on a novel and what's going to be a graphic novel and another series, but none of them have been announced yet.
Okay.
But if fans want to take a look at something else I do, there's a series of novels I've written based on a character named Lucius Fogg, which are available on Amazon, and I'm about to release the first one on Audible, so if people like to listen to novels. It's a 1950s noir detective series, kind of an urban fantasy thing, set in a, it's a detective story set in a New York where the supernatural exists. And so if you, if you're into like the Dresden Files and those kind of books, this is right up your alley. So again, the Lucius Fogg series.
Are you reading it? It's an audiobook. Are you reading it?
I am not. I thought about it and was leaning towards it. And then I met a gentleman at when I was up at the San Jose convention, an artist that I was sitting next to. He said that he also did audiobooks. And I went, really? So let me, you know, here, take this, read a chapter, and let me know. You know, let's hear it. And he just did an amazing job. So he's recording it to a guy named Cody Purcell. He's probably three quarters of the way through. So hopefully we'll have that up in the next couple months. And the first book's called Deadly Creatures.
Okay. Now, you were mentioning something else before I cut you off. What are there other things you're working on?
No, that's well, that's like one. I said, I'm hoping to have some big announcements pretty quick. You can follow me on Twitter is at Dan Wickline. I have my own website, danwickline.com. Anywhere on social media, it's just my name. So you can find me just about anywhere.
And, of course, it's W-I-C-K-L-I-N-E. I don't want to – you don't have W-Y-C-K or anything like that.
No.
Other things like that. So, good. We got to make sure people know how to find you because we don't do that. But, like I said, The Freeze is just one of those great books that, man, when I came across it, I just was like – as I told Phil when I wrote to him, I said, wow. I said, this book is – and I remembered him suggesting it. And I said, man, you were right to suggest it. I'm going to listen to you when you suggest things in the future. I'm going to listen to you. This is good because it's a really good book. And, Dan, it's a pleasure to meet you. And I hope you guys get to do a lot of The Freeze. I really do because, man, it has got me gripped. I don't know what you got in mind next. And I'm grateful you haven't spoiled anything because I want to read the book. I don't want to find out if I spoil, even though it's majorspoilers.com, I don't want to be spoiled. I'd like to be teased, but I don't want to be spoiled. But yeah, this book is one of those books. If you have not gotten The Freeze yet, get to your store and tell them that you want it. And if you haven't gotten the issues and they're sold out, be sure that they get the trade for you because it's going to be great stuff. And it's just going to, it's going to blow your mind away just like it did with me. And so it's just a great book. And Dan and Philip, man, keep it up. And once this is done, I hope you guys get to do other things too because I think this is a great collaboration too.
Thank you.
People need dramatic examples to shake them out of apathy, and I can't do that as Bruce Wayne. As a man, I'm flesh and blood. I can be ignored. I can be destroyed, but as a symbol.
Get the latest from the comics universe. News, interviews, previews, and reviews. Listen to the weekly Wayne's Comics Podcast so you can keep reading your comics.
That's a wrap for this episode. Be sure to be back next week when I'll have another interview with a great comics creator. But until then, keep reading your comics.